on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get the punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Tatino. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls about the Giants. We'll also be able to check in on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Our phone number is 201-939-4513. That's 201-939-4513. Now, I put out a question of the day earlier on Twitter about a couple of hours ago. Also retweeted it just a short time ago. I think what I really would like to do today, and I'll still open it up and take any questions or comments that you have about the Giants or about the NFL for that matter, but I think my question for the day, since we are at Wednesday and the NFL's Rookie of the Year Award comes out on Saturday, and we all think that Odell Beckham Jr. is the favorite to win the award, is who do you think is the biggest challenge to Beckham as the NFL Rookie of the Year? Now, the list of candidates as I see it. Now, Beckham had 91 catches, 1,305 yards, and 12 touchdown receptions, either tied for the lead in the touchdown grabs with Mike Evans of Tampa Bay, won the rookie championship for catches and for receiving yardage. It's clear to me he's going to get it, but if there is somebody who could possibly sneak in, who's the guy who concerns you the most in terms of Beckham winning the Rookie of the Year Award? Now, remember, there are two Rookie of the Year Awards that are going to come out on Saturday. Beckham has already won the Pro Football Writers Association Rookie of the Year Award. He's also won the Sporting News NFL Rookie of the Year Award. The two that come out on Saturday are the official NFL Rookie of the Year Award, which is given out by the Associated Press, and the Pepsi-sponsored NFL Rookie of the Year Award, which is strictly a fan vote that is done online on the internet. And by the way, I believe fan voting closes tomorrow through NFL.com. Now, I think the fan vote is the one that potentially could be an upset, because I think anybody who's in the media, including the Associated Press, obviously, which is the NFL's league-recognized award, I think they are all going to go for Beckham. I don't think anybody else is going to beat him out. But anytime you get a fan vote, especially through the internet, you never know how those votes are going to turn out. So here are the other folks, at least according to what I would believe, and I think it's pretty much unanimous, who the potential candidates would be, although I don't know that any of them will provide a strong challenge for Beckham. Offensively, there's Jarvis Landry, who had 84 catches, 758 yards, and 5 touchdown grabs. The 84 catches, obviously, in the ballpark of Beckham. There's Mike Evans, the receiver from Tampa Bay. We mentioned the 12 touchdown catches, which tied Beckham a few moments ago. He also had 1,051 yards, so very close in yardage. 61 catches, much less in terms of the receptions. Sammy Watkins of Buffalo, the receiver, had 65 grabs for 982 yards, falls short in both, well short in terms of catches, and then only 6 touchdown grabs, also well short. Jeremy Hill, the running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, 222 carries, 1,124 yards, and 9 rushing touchdowns. Had a sensational year. I don't think anybody really expected him to do what he did. And, of course, the Bengals made the playoffs. That may help him some. Now, they didn't go very far, obviously, but that could help him some, because the fan vote for that Rookie of the Year done on the internet has been open all throughout the postseason. And again, doesn't close, I believe, until tomorrow. So there could be some compilation votes coming in there for Hill during the postseason, even though they didn't do much in the playoffs. Teddy Bridgewater, the Minnesota quarterback, 64% completion mark. That's terrific as a rookie. 2,900 yards and 14 touchdown throws. Zach Martin, the offensive guard from the Dallas Cowboys, who was voted to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. You know, I know he doesn't have stats per se, at least not common stats. There are blocks, efficiency ratings, pancake blocks, penalties and sacks allowed. There are numbers you can get into, but it's very hard to compare those stats to the other guys at the skill positions. But Zach Martin certainly deserves consideration. And on defense, the only guy I think who really merits any conversation about potentially being the rookie of the year would be Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle for the St. Louis Rams, 47 tackles and 9 sacks. That's a heck of a job for a defensive tackle. 9 sacks, rookie or otherwise. So those are the guys. I see 7 guys on that list who at least could be in the conversation. I don't know that many of them merit serious consideration because I think Odell Beckham Jr. should be the NFL Rookie of the Year across the board. I think it should be unanimous. But could somebody sneak in and potentially steal one of these awards from him? That's my question to you today. Who is the biggest concern for you if Beckham is not going to win the NFL Rookie of the Year award? All right, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Calls already lining up. Let's go to Chris from Bayonne. You're first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Paulie, what's up?
Good to talk to you.
Okay.
How you doing, man? You know what? We only got about 8 inches of snow in my neighborhood, so it wasn't that bad. So I hope you did well.
Yeah, right across the river, we got about 8 inches, too. But it was a disappointment, as the whole entire neighborhood is saying. A big disappointment.
Well, no. Now, you want to rephrase that. You want to turn that around. Disappointing maybe to the people who forecasted 2 feet, but not disappointing to the people who didn't want to deal with 2 feet.
I feel bad for the people with 2 feet. Hey, Paulie, I'm a Beckham guy all the way. Of course, I'm a Giants fan. I love the guy. I think the guy overwhelmingly should win this award. My competition with him is probably Donald at defensive tackle, guy with 9 sacks, clogs the middle up, just plays a complete game. And you know what? Another wide receiver I think is in competition. I do like Benjamin and Evans. They really matured. They really stepped into the NFL. Watkins had a little bit of growing to do. Cook had a little bit of growing to do. But I tell you, Benjamin and Evans really stepped in big time. But I really think Beckham will win.
Interesting you mentioned Benjamin because I didn't have him on my list of candidates. But you make a good point because for a better part of the season, he was a legit candidate. And, in fact, you're absolutely right. He did finish with better stats than I thought. 73 catches, 1,000 yards, 1,008 to be specific, and 9 touchdown grabs. You make a great point. Benjamin should have been on my list. Bad job by me. So that's 8 guys who should be on this list.
My last point, if we can get to it maybe later in the show, it seems to me the West Coast teams with their offense and defense seem to be trickling into the NFC East. If we look at Washington's hirings, we see Kelly in Philly, Carroll's micromanagement, specific ball players on his defenses. He selects specific guys to do a specific duty, and with the speed, with the talent, going into the 5th and 6th rounds, 4th rounds, it seems like it's trickling over here as a success. Because, again, Seattle's in the 2nd Super Bowl. San Fran has always been competitive. Arizona's right up there. They had a few injuries at quarterback. But you know what? We've always talked about competing in the NFC East among our own. We must defend Bryant. We must defend Garcon, et cetera, et cetera. We need to play up to our quarterbacks. But you know what? A lot of blitzing in our division looked like was getting like a Romo. Romo was getting blitzed. Green Bay was blitzing. Okay, it seems like there's a lot of different defenses that are being created around this particular NFC East and bringing guys in. What's your thoughts about the West coming to the East? And I'll hang up and listen to you off the air.
Well, you know, I appreciate the thought, but you see, for me, it's still always going to be about the power running game and the power offensive line, and we've got to get that. We got to get that line squared away, Greg. It's in the air. There you go. Thank you. To me, the trend that we're seeing in the NFC East isn't so much defensive blitzing. It's about building a very strong and solid offensive line because it seems to me that the Eagles' offensive line has been improved over the last few years. So has the Redskins. The Giants are trying to do it. They're behind the curve. And we all know how much the Cowboys' offensive line has been fortified over the last several years. And that's the thing to me that has really hurt the Giants the most is that I think they've been behind the curve in terms of advancing their offensive line. And they're doing it now. They're, again, a little behind, but they're doing it now. They're going to continue to do it this year. To me, that's the trend right now that we're seeing in the NFC East. I don't know that I have given much thought to a West Coast style of blitzing defense as much as I've given thought to this division is clearly one now that has to be offensive line strong. Otherwise, you're just not going to have a chance to win it. At least that's the way I see it. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Derek in Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How's it going on today?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, of course, Beckham way deserves this award. And most people after the Pro Bowl was concerned about him coming out saying, you know, he played all year with, you know, with some torn ligaments or something in his hamstring
he
or whatever.
He mentioned that he had two tears in his hamstring all season long and that, you know, he expects and hopes to be 100% next season. I'll only say this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical guy. And I'm just going to make this very, very simple. The way I saw him play over the final two-thirds of the regular season was fine with me. And whatever he had or did not have, that's okay.
A monster.
I mean, I will take...
Playing at 90%, what happens when you get to 100%?
Whatever it was. Let me ask you this right now. Would you sign up for exactly what he did this year, next year? 91 catches, 1,300 yards,
that,
and 12 touchdown grabs?
You know, I'm thinking he may set some records in next year.
I'm going to
be talking about him as the next Calvin Johnson.
I'm being conservative, but I'll tell you what. Sign me up for exactly what he had this year, and I'm fine with it. I don't even need him to be better. Of course, you want him to be because he's a young player. But if he gives me the same numbers he gave me this year, I'm good with it.
Yeah, okay. So the person who I think probably deserves just a consideration would be Jeremy Hill. And this guy, probably the other players that you mentioned, most of those guys were drafted and came in knowing they were going to be the starters and get the reps. You know, but Jeremy Hill probably – thought that he was going to be behind Gio all last year.
Yeah.
He still had 1,000 yards rushing. He looked like a premier back. 9 touchdowns. I mean, that's just, you know, for a rookie, I mean, that's just great numbers. I mean, he did everything they asked him to do. So, you know, that was another guy. I also gave a little bit consideration to the guy, North Carolina guy. What's his name again?
Benjamin. Yeah.
I
left him off my initial list.
You know,
good
what
call.
What in the world is the Panthers doing? They have no receivers, and they draft this guy, and he you know, showed up. You know, so that's always a good thing.
Yep.
But I just wanted to say one more thing before I get off is that I saw an article online about should the Giants restructure Cruz's contract, and I would just say that they should not. I think that they should let him play for his I think he's getting like 6.1 or something like that million this year when he comes back. And no matter whether he's hurt or not, I don't think they should restructure his contract because he's just been a model Giant. And, you know, if that things don't work out this year, then maybe talk about it next year. But let him play under the contract, you know, that he currently has.
Well, he is signed through 2018, just as an FYI for you.
Yeah, I know. He just signed it not too long ago.
Right.
But, you know, they said his contract's probably $7.9 million next year, but I think 6 point something this year. And they already got Bleacher Report should the Giants restructure his contract. And I'm just saying, no, you know, people get hurt, you know, so, you know.
There are other things, they can do if they need to finagle money around without going to Cruz. He could be a guy they could look at, but there are a lot of other places they could go first. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call.
Yep. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. My question of the day, who's the biggest challenge to Odell Beckham Jr. as the potential NFL Rookie of the Year when the announcement comes out on Saturday? It looks like AJ in South Carolina is next on the line. Hello.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi.
I think Odell Beckham Jr. going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think he's going to win. I think we all pretty much agree with that. The question is, who might challenge him? You're a South Carolina guy. I'm thinking you saw a lot of Kevin Benjamin.
Yes, I saw Kevin Benjamin.
He's good.
I also think Mike Evans.
And Mike Evans from Tampa Bay. And that is a really, really good pick in that for most of the season, Evans was the leading wide receiver amongst rookies in the NFL. And then at the end, that's when Beckham turned on the Jets and passed him. But Evans was the leader for most of the season. Made a lot of early impact when, of course, Beckham was out because of the leg injury. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, AJ. Sure.
How many draft picks does the Giants got in the draft?
They have 7 picks.
Okay.
Yep, 7 picks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks very much. Yeah, they got their full complement of picks. As far as I know, let me just take a look one quick second here. They picked up, let's see. They picked up a pick from Denver when they traded McManus. I'm trying to think if they gave up a pick at some point for somebody else. Put it this way. They're not short. And I'm confessing to you, I'm going to tear it off right now. Rather than tell you concretely exactly how many they have, let me just tell you this. They're not short. I believe they have at least their 7. They may even have 8. But I'll check on that for you. In the meantime, let's go to another phone call. Warren from D.C. You are next. Hello.
How you doing, man?
Good to talk to you.
I just had a couple. Pertaining to Odell, I feel like you said, you should be a unanimous decision. Only 2 people coming close are Benjamin and Mike Evans. Because I see him, he's in top 10 most categories where rookies aren't. And out of all the receivers in the NFL, so
it's very hard to compare offense and defense, but Aaron Donald with his 9 sacks is very, very impressive at defensive tackle, although I was in St. Louis when the Giants absolutely shut him down cold. That was pretty cool. And honestly, you can make a very good case, I think, for Jeremy Hill, who came out of nowhere to run for over 1,100 yards. And Zach Martin going to the Pro Bowl as an offensive lineman is pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know that those other guys are that far behind.
Get overlooked a lot.
Yeah, I don't know that the other guys are that far behind. I mean, they're legitimately in the conversation, but how close, that's where the question lies.
Well, I mean, I'm not really sure how they determine rookie of the year, but in terms of, I guess big plays and attention to the league, you could kind of put him as, almost an MVP type stuff because the way he was playing at the end of the year with how much attention he brought to the league and the Giants. So I feel like maybe it's just the big name playing in New York might give it some more hype, but I definitely feel like he should win rookie of the year, especially since he came out saying he got hurt.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he will win. So, in any event, go ahead. Do you have another question or thought?
Yeah, a question. My question was about where we should go in the draft. I feel like we should go offensive line since I don't feel like picking up free agents that are offensive linemen would be a good idea since they get older. But we do need – I feel like with Spagnuolo coming back, we should cater to his system. And if he feels like there's defensive talent out there in this draft, then we should go get a linebacker or something like that. Because I feel like our linebacking core could be solid, but I feel like we just need one more outside rusher to really kind of get – because I feel like our defensive linemen are pretty good stopping the run. They've been pretty good themselves, but I feel like we need somebody in the back to kind of help out doing stuff like that, especially with Spagnuolo coming back the way he likes to do stunts and all that.
I actually agree with you in that they do need a pass rusher. Now, does that come from the defensive end spot or does it come from the outside linebacker spot? That kind of is going to be determined by what's available when they pick and whether it's in the first round or the second round. Remember now, the Giants are picking 9th, so they're going to get a high second round pick out of this too. And from what I understand, this draft is very deep in defensive linemen. So it's entirely possible that in the second round, they get a stud defensive lineman at that round instead of necessarily going round 1.
Right. But round 1, I feel like we should get an offensive line. I'm not sure exactly what our weakest spot in the line is, but I see a lot of tackles are just deep in this draft. So hopefully we can draft there and just strengthen the line because I feel like that's the only real flaw in our offense. As we improve.
Well, they could probably use a blocking tight end. As you know, if you've listened to me at all, that's something that I really would like to see them get. And then the other thing is, too, you probably wouldn't be bad, and it doesn't have to be high in the draft, but you probably wouldn't be bad adding another receiver, too. Because as Jerry Reese even said himself, Victor Cruz is coming off serious knee surgery. Even though all systems appear to be go, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have somebody else kind of to help flesh out that depth chart.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that's definitely a concern. I hope he doesn't rush back and aggravate an injury.
I don't think they're going to rush him back at all. In fact, if you had to try to compare how they'll deal with him, I think how they dealt with Beeson last year is probably kind of how it's going to go. You won't see him do anything in the spring. In the summertime at camp, he'll be extremely limited. In fact, he probably will start on PUP, I would think, based on everything he's talked about with his recovery. You know, he's thinking about being ready for week one of the regular season. Now, whether or not whether or not he plays any preseason games, you and I both know he understands what he's got to do. I mean, he doesn't need to play a preseason game. So I think it's going to be something along the lines of what happened with Beeson. They'll really kind of, with kid gloves, bring him in through the summer and then see what they can do once the regular season starts. So I won't be alarmed if he doesn't get activated till the end of the preseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I actually want to see that more. So unless he's completely healthy and then he can get more reps in, but definitely at the end of the preseason.
Yeah. Appreciate
the
phone call.
Well, that's it. Yep, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. You be well. 201-939-4513 is our number here at Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Tatino with you. We'll take you all the way up until the hour of 1 o'clock Eastern time. Let me quickly go to the Internet, and I know we got a bunch of Giants chats, I'm sure, so let me get some of those out of the way for you folks. Let's see here. We have – oh, boy. We have – Ben Gruen says it's pointless to list wide receivers as competition to Beckham. He led every category and played four fewer games. Quarterback and running back is only competition. So that would be Bridgewater and Hill, according to Ben Gruen, who wants to chime in with that online. Again, Mike Evans did have 12 touchdown catches to tie Beckham for the rookie lead there. He did not have the solo lead in that category. But, hey, I'm with you, quite frankly. I think Beckham's the runaway winner. But I'm just trying to throw it out there that, again, with an Internet vote for one of the four major Rookie of the Year awards, you never know how that could wind up. We also have, let's see here, gentleman says NFL Updates. That's a very interesting handle. Says Beckham is the GOAT, greatest of all time. Glad to have him on the Giants. Okay, that's not bad. Ben Gruen also mentions he thinks that Becca will be the unanimous vote amongst the media. Let's see here. John F. says, what is the offseason process for rehabbing Beckham's hammy? Is he rehabbing at the Giants facility this time of year? No, Beckham has been in Arizona getting ready for the Pro Bowl, went and played in the Pro Bowl. The Giants will reconvene officially for the beginning of their offseason program on April the 20th. And so whether or not, you know, he stops in to take care of some stuff on his own, I don't know if that's going to happen. I haven't talked to him about it. My understanding was he was going to Arizona. He was going to take care of the Pro Bowl stuff. I'm sure he's probably staying out there for the Super Bowl. But other than that, I don't specifically know what his plans are. But you can bet he will do everything he can medically to make sure he's 100% coming into training camp. Gentleman here, Big Dash, 07088, says Cruz earned that money. I agree, all those years he was making the minimum. So he doesn't want to touch Cruz's contract. That's fine. Let's see here. Do a couple more give and take between him and one of our other callers. And so we'll leave those alone. And we will go to Nugs in Minnesota. I've talked to you before many times. Nugs, hello. Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Good to talk to you, man.
What do you think about this? I don't even want us to take the pick at number 9.
You want to trade it?
Yeah, let's trade down. Let's get some extra second or extra third round pick. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some team, maybe in the mid teens, desperate to jump up into that position, that top 10 position, because they're going to see somebody that they want or see somebody that they feel is not going to be there. I just feel that our team is close, but we're not just that one player away. I think we're about a good 3-4 players away, and it would help if we trade back in the draft and then maybe accumulate some extra seconds, some extra thirds, maybe even trade down twice. Who knows? You know, it just depends on whether or not our guy, because I know they don't know who their guy is because the evaluation process of the rookies and stuff just hasn't even really started yet. But if they still feel like they can get their guy later on in the round, I would not mind to see us trade down and trade down, accumulate some later round picks, some seconds and some thirds, maybe some fourths, and, you know, maybe even future considerations or whatnot. And let's just build up this team through the draft. That's all I got to say, Paul. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. It's not a bad idea. I mean, depending upon whether or not you think there's going to be an impact guy there at one of the spots you need at 9, and if the value is good, obviously you're going to take him. Would it be such a bad idea to move down 3, 4, 5 spots and potentially grab something else? Maybe not a bad idea. I'll say this. I agree with you, Nugs, in that the Giants are probably 3 or 4 players away from being where they want to be. I absolutely agree with that. They're not one player away from being a championship contender again. They do need a few guys, and we've talked about the spots before. We know that they need offensive line help. They need more fortification at the defensive line. They need a weak side linebacker, and they need a safety. And you know what? To another degree, they also need a blocking tight end, and they could probably use depth at wide receiver. Okay, so, yeah, they got some spots to go for. I don't think there's any question about that. So would an extra pair of hands or an extra body help them out? I suppose it's something you would consider. I certainly wouldn't be against it. I'll tell you that. Okay, so the Giants have pick number 9 in round 1, pick number 8 in round 2. So that gives them 2 picks. They've got pick number 10 in round 3. That's 3. Number 9 in round 4. Okay. Number 8 in round 5. Number 10 in round 6. And number 9 in round 7. So that's what it looks like, as far as I could tell. So, yeah, the Giants have all 7 of their picks available to them. Now, there's a possibility, okay, that they'll get a compensatory pick based on that whole mysterious mathematical free agent formula that the NFL uses. And so, let's see here. I'm just taking one other glance. Oh, and of course the Giants have that extra pick from Denver. So they have 8 picks. Yeah. They get pick number 28 in round 7 from the Broncos in the Brandon McManus trade. So to clarify, the Giants have 8 picks going into the draft this year. And then, of course, the compensatories, which we just spoke about moments ago. You just don't know how that's going to fall out. So that's the deal. Okay? Let's go back to the phone calls. Brandon from New York, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how we doing? So I want to talk about the draft for a second. I was thinking at first to get an offensive lineman, but I'm thinking now I really hope this guy, Shaq from the Washington, falls to us at number 9 because I want to go D-tackle because I can't watch Kuhn and Patterson out there anymore. If we get Hankins and him and then we'll have Bromley rotating – the only way you're going to win and us make a run this year is in the lines. And then also on second round, then we go after a left guard, right tackle, the best there. For the third round, we go safety, and then fourth round linebacker, hopefully someone that can play middle. And then fifth, you go tight end. And I think we should stay true to those, to that, just and not go necessarily after the best player.
Okay, now you understand part of the problem with your phone call is that you're strictly looking right now at what you believe to be their perceived needs, putting them in order, and then drafting position by position, round by round, according to the needs. You and I both know the Giants don't do that. I mean, yeah. They are going to look at their value board, and only if the value board says a couple of guys are close will they then take need into account. That's the way they do things here. So I appreciate what you're saying. You've identified their needs and said, okay, look, these are the things that have to be filled. Well, a couple of things you have to remember. A, there's free agency. You also may be able to fill one or two of those spots in free agency. And then B, you also then have to take into account the giant value board, which is probably not going to fall exactly the way their needs are. It never does.
And also, so I was thinking that we also, yeah, we have to get a backup for you know, another left guard in the draft as well. But either way, we're going to have to do it in the free agency as well to have backup. How do you feel about going D-tackle first round then?
I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest with you. And I know the Giants do need to stop the run, and Tom Coughlin is very adamant about doing a better job against the run. But in terms of defensive tackle, you know, I wouldn't mind necessarily bringing somebody in for competition at some point, you know, but whether or not it comes via free agency, again, remains to be seen. I would say this. I know that Jay Bromley was a third-round pick out of Syracuse last year, and they've got a lot of high hopes for him. He didn't get to see the field because he was so deep on the depth chart, but it's hard for me to put a higher want on a defensive tackle when, you know, guys like Hankins, who I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Hankins, I still think Cullen Jenkins has gas in his tank. Bromley was a third-round pick. You know, the Giants, whether or not Mike Patterson is back or not, you also have to consider they like to move guys like Kerry Wynn inside and Robert Ayers inside. When they go to their sub-package, a lot of times their ends will come inside and play defensive tackle. So that kind of also removes some of the premium that you're putting on a DT to take him with the 9th overall pick in the draft, at least in my mathematical equation. You could still feel that way. I don't know that I agree with you, though.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
That sounds like a great.
All right, my friend. Take care. Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
All right, let's go back to the internet. We have some more internet comments on hashtag Giants Chat. Again, dial us up at 201-939-4513. Nathaniel says Martin won't be a challenge because he is one very good old lineman, but the guys had to do it without Cruz. Oh, talking about Beckham having to be the Giants' primary weapon deep. Well, Reuben Randle actually caught over 900 yards worth of passes this year. And again, I think we would all agree the Giants want more out of Reuben Randle, but he didn't have a terrible year in terms of total production. The Giants just want him to do better and to reach his potential. And I think he's got more to go, by the way. I've always liked Reuben Randle's skill set, and I would like to see him do better. Let's see here. E-Rank Waiters says, P-Dot, you've converted me. Glad we have Odell Beckham, but games are won in the trenches. Want both offensive and defensive lines. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've been doing this a long time, and trust me when I tell you, I believe in the lines. So I appreciate your support in that regard. Another one here says, this is a very interesting one. How about this one? Wants to say, my internet crashed for just a moment. Says, what if the Giants had traded out of the 12th spot last season and Beckham went to the Rams? Painfully earned 9th pick. Make it. So this guy, Gruen Ben, I guess that's the second time he's been on here, but he makes an interesting point. He says, hey, better take it at 9. Don't worry about trading out. Just take the 9th pick. The Giants would usually prefer to do that. They're not one who like to move and shake so much with that pick. They've done it a few times in the past, but I think if they really had their druthers, they'd like to stay where they are. Christopher Doval says, if they can trade the 9th for a 14th to 17th pick in the first round and get an extra second-round pick, that would be a deal. Okay, you know. Again, you have to have a partner if you're going to make a deal like that, and that's always an issue. Charlie from Portland, Maine. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and I hope the snow didn't hit you too bad, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. Oh, it did. We got about 30 inches.
Oh, no.
Close. Yeah. It was quite the storm. But we're good. We're all plowed out.
Okay.
We're used to the storms here.
Good for you.
Paul, I just wanted to – yesterday I was listening to you, and I kind of disagree with you on a middle linebacker. I think we really need to get a middle linebacker in free agency. Rinaldo McClain is available from Dallas. He is a free agent. The guy was rated one of the best run-stopping middle linebackers in the league this year.
Okay, now remember, carries a ton of baggage, and the Cowboys were extremely fortunate this year to have him get through most of the season injury-free and locker room-free.
He proved himself this year. So I think the guys, he showed he wanted to play football, and he played really well, and you know, I think he's, you know, he would be a guy that I think we could get not for a ton of money, but somebody who's young, who's a great linebacker. He can move laterally, and he can play middle linebacker.
Okay,
and
I got to warn you, though.
We have a middle linebacker on our team right now.
But here, I got to warn you, though. I got to warn you about one other thing, too. And we were talking to Mickey Spagnuolo down in Dallas, you don't know, longtime Cowboys beat guy, when we were down there earlier this year, or last season, I should say, this past season. And he said that McClain is going to cash in and look for huge money, because he believed after coming back from a year away from the game that he had proven himself to such a degree that he's going to want to cash. So the perception that you're going to be able to get him cheap or reasonable, I don't think holds a lot of water. And that's why he said he doesn't think the Cowboys are going to be able to re-sign McClain, because he's going to want to cash in on what was a very productive year. So he's probably, you know, put himself out of the reasonable price range mix. So that will probably cancel your want for him anyway. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't want any part of it.
We need a middle linebacker, because McClain showed me last year that he's not a middle linebacker. He was playing out of position. That's why they ran through us like water, besides a defensive tackle. But he was not great in
middle linebacker. You don't like Kennard?
We have Beeson, who's injured all the time. And then you were saying Kennard. But Kennard's best ability is to rush the passer. And if we take that away from him, you know, he's not a middle linebacker. To me, he's an outside guy who can pass, you know, rush the passer. And Spags is going to utilize him in his four aces, his NASCAR package. So why take him out of his best, to me, his best, you know, linebacking position is outside.
I say this to you. Hold on a second now, because let's talk about Kennard for just a second, because I think Kennard has two outstanding traits, okay? For a guy his size who is a strong side prototype, he does have terrific pass rush skills. And we saw that when they utilized him on the blitz in the final month of the season. So I'm totally with you on that. But the other trait that he has, which is perfectly suited for a middle linebacker, is he seals the field very well, he's very smart, and he's very instinctive. And he knows how to get to the hole and how to avoid the traffic and how to make the play at the point of attack very, very, very well. In fact, better than most of the Giants linebackers they've had over the course of the last decade. I really like the way he does that, which means he could potentially be the backup to Beeson at middle linebacker and jump ahead of McClain on the depth chart in that role. And I don't have a problem with that, again, because my thinking is you are looking more at a contingency plan at middle linebacker, not necessarily at replacing Beeson. It sounds like you just want to replace Beeson from the get-go.
No. I want to bring in a middle linebacker that we know that's going to stay on the field as much as we can know that. We know Beeson can't. So what I'm saying is bring in a veteran, bring in somebody like McClain, try to get him, or Spikes, or somebody like that. Let him go up against Beeson during the, you know,
you know how
preseason.
Hard that's going to be, though? Because the guy who comes here, you want an established, proven veteran who you think can stay in the field. Well, that kind of guy is going to want some money, and he's also going to want guarantees that he's going to play. And if the Giants have already committed.
To me right now, Beeson is the best backup. That's what Beeson is to me. He's a backup because he can't stay on the field. And, you know, we need depth. And so if you have somebody like Beeson as a backup, then we have some really good depth. And the thing is, he isn't even going to be on the team unless he restructures his contract, because it's way too much money. And you know they're going to ask him to take a pay cut or restructure.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I honestly don't. And I still think the Giants, in a perfect world, are thinking Beeson's going to be their starter. But as I've said 1,000 times in the last week on this program, you need to have a contingency plan. But you can't look at the contingency plan as your A plan, because you don't have the money to do it, and you don't have the ability to promise a starting job to somebody from the outside. Not if you still think Beeson is plan A. And I still believe that. And I think the Giants still believe that. So that's where our
philosophy. It's crazy if they think it's plan A after the last year and after his years of injury. Why would he be plan A? To me, he'd be plan B.
Plan A is best case scenario. Best case scenario is he can give you the full season and he performs very, very well. That's the best case scenario. Plan A always has to be, Charlie, your best-case scenario. I'm with you 100%. They need a plan B. They need a good contingency plan. Where we seem to differ is that I think either Kennard or McLean are good possibilities as plan B. But you know what? If there's a better one out there, I'm okay with that too. I'm only telling you, you have to be realistic, though. You have to be realistic. Because you're telling me you want to sign a guy like McLean, that's not realistic.
A middle linebacker, right?
I have no problem with you saying they need to perhaps, and I don't think it's a need. I think it's a luxury. I think it's a good thing to get another middle linebacker. Because you know what? Then Kennard can worry about being outside. McLean can stay outside. And if you can find another backup middle linebacker. But, again, it's not going to be easy to do at the price you're going to be talking about and at the situation that you're asking a guy to come into. Because how many middle linebackers around the league are going to come in here and say, well, I got to compete with Beeson for the job? They may want to gamble.
If they look at his track record, they'd probably say this is going to be pretty easy.
They may want to gamble and say he's going to get hurt. Maybe they'll want to do that. But you know what? They're going to want money to do that. And you're not going to have the money to give them. You got enough of problems trying to re-sign some of your own guys, trying to deal with JPP and maybe a franchise tag. You know, a lot of people are telling me they want to bring back Roll. Well, that's going to cost you money. You know, you're going to have to bring in at least one other free agent to either help out that front seven or to help out that offensive line. Where are you going to get the money to play a bona fide, experienced, valuable veteran middle linebacker? You know,
money there.
Harry Carson's not coming out of retirement, Charlie.
Get rid of his salary.
Gary Reasons isn't coming out of retirement. You know, it's not happening.
What isn't happening? Extending Eli? That's going to save a ton of money.
Yeah, but you may need that to pay the tag for JPP.
Also, you've got Walton he's not a great center. We can get rid of Walton and find somebody else besides Richburg. I mean, there's a whole bunch of dead money there that if we get rid of, we should have more than enough money to sign some. If we got to put a priority on a middle linebacker, to me, and also defensive tackle. If we get some great defensive tackles that can stop the run and can hold their position, then the linebacking play is going to be better anyway because they're not going to have offensive linemen in their faces.
Charlie, I appreciate it. I hope you're safe and sound up there with your snow.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you go because we got a lot more callers here.
Yeah, no problem, Paul.
And again, you and I both agree that there's a need there. Where we totally disagree is how much need there is. You have a much higher priority there on the linebacker. We're going to let you go. That's fine. You have a much higher priority list on a backup or maybe even a starting middle linebacker than I do. To me, it is much more important for this team to get a starting offensive lineman, at least one other, probably two backup offensive linemen, a pass rusher, and a starting safety. Okay? To me, those are much bigger priorities than a backup middle linebacker. Could they use one? Yes. But I think, again, we totally disagree on the priority of that spot. So I guess we're 50-50 on that. Matt from East Islip, you're next on the program. Hope you didn't get too much snow either. Hello.
Yeah, not that bad, Paul. I'm actually up in Poughkeepsie at Marist College where I go to school. So
okay.
I'm from East Islip originally, but we didn't get that bad. We had classes canceled yesterday, which is great. But
good.
Can't complain. I was listening to a couple guys and what they were saying, and Charlie had some good points and kind of like what he says. But a couple names I want to throw out for free agency and a couple ideas, and I want to see what you think of it.
Sure.
I ultimately think that offensive line wise, it's going to be Beatty. It's going to be Schwartz. It's going to be Richburg. I think that they're going to sign or draft a tackle, and I think Pugh is going to move into guard because I think, as I've heard you say, and I've always seen it in his body type, he's 100% a guard.
We're on board with that. I've been talking about this for a long time, so you've been listening to me. That's obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, I think that you got two options. I think if you draft an offensive tackle in the first round, you got guys like Brandon Schreff, who, if you watch his film, manhandles Randy Gregory, who's supposed to be a top five pick. I mean, he's probably the best I've seen in a long time, actually, in film, blowing guys off the ball. He's a special player.
It's interesting. Some people are thinking he could be a guard, too.
He could be. He has a very similar body type to Pugh. But I think another option in free agency for the right tackle spot would be Brian Bulaga. I think his price is a little higher, but I think he's a good option.
I think Bulaga, to me, is probably the most suitable option. But again, now you're talking about that price tag, and that's where it could get sticky. But I would agree with you. I think Bulaga is a very viable candidate.
Yeah, I think Bulaga. And another name I wanted to throw out, too, is, two guys, one at the right tackle position, another guy at the middle linebacker position. Right tackle Orlando Franklin would be from the Denver Broncos, so I think could come. And then for middle linebacker, I do think Beeson's going to get cut just because of his salary.
You do,
and I think he.
I don't think so, because I think they want him back, and I know he wants to come back, and he's also realistic enough to understand that. You know, he gave them something his first year here, but then last year the injury sidetracked everything, and he's smart enough to understand that A, his number right now, based on his injury, is probably not going to work. And he also understands that if he were to get cut by the Giants, let's say he would play hardball and say, look, I'm not going to deal with any kind of contractual negotiations. You know, you either take what you signed me for or cut me. Well, he's not going to do that because you know what? If he's on the street, who's going to give him a better deal after the injury last year? So I think he's very, very agreeable to coming back under a reconstituted deal. And you know what? What's wrong with that? Honestly, what's wrong with that?
I agree with you 100%. I do love him. You know, I think a lot of Giants fans really like what he brought because they didn't have that since Antonio Pierce and before that, you know, God knows how long.
Isn't it funny how many people want to jump ship on him, but just 2 years ago when he got here, he was supposed to be, the savior to this whole defense and the rush defense. Everybody wanted to give him a crown with 1,514-carat gold plates on it and jewels and stuff. And now everybody wants to throw him in the river. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, then you realize why they gave up a seventh-round pick for him. But I think that, you know, and then just one more point, and I'll let you go because I know you have other callers. But I think for the safety position, I think it's pretty inevitable. I think that Antrel role also walks, even though I think he'd want him back just because of his leadership role. But I think to save money, I think another viable option, instead of going the Devin McCourty route of New England, I think you go maybe Raheem Moore from Denver. I think he'd be a good fit at a lower price. I don't know. I think I could just see it. And, just kind of wanted your take on that. And then maybe just another option or two at running back in the draft or something like that I think we could also add. But other than that, thanks, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's see. Raheem Moore came in at $1.4 million this year. So, you know, he's certainly going to want a lot more than that. The Giants have some decisions to make at that spot, and that's going to be a hard one. And I'll tell you why it's tricky. Because I think it's clear they'd like Antrel rollback. They just don't know where that number is going to lie. And there'll be other contending teams in this league. And Antrel, by the way, he's playing for another ring, okay? Antrel is not playing as much for the money as he is another ring. And if another contending team says to him, look, we think you're the missing piece to getting us a Lombardi trophy. And by the way, we'll give you the kind of money you've been making to go help us get it. It's going to be hard for the Giants to match that and to chase him up the economic ladder to keep him. Do you re-sign Stevie Brown? I think you can get Stevie Brown at a reasonable rate. Again, another guy who, you know, was slum coming off of injury last year, this past season, you know, was in and out of the lineup, wasn't quite as productive, obviously, as he wanted to be. I think you can probably get him back at a one-year deal at a reasonable rate. Quentin Demps, an unrestricted free agent, I would suspect he probably would be elsewhere. So then you've got Cooper Taylor, Nat Berry, and maybe Stevie Brown. You got to add somebody else. I'm thinking probably draft more than I am free agency, but I appreciate the thought about Morris. Moore. I just don't know about the price, and that's the issue there. I'm thinking I'd probably go draft for a safety rather than spend the money. See, my deal is if I'm going to spend a decent amount of money on one free agent, and the Giants have already said they're not going to make a big splash like when they made the deal with DRC last year. It's going to be more of a second-level free agent. I'm probably going to save as much money as I can to make that guy maybe a pass rusher, maybe an offensive lineman, you know, because remember, I'm thinking they need at least two, maybe three new offensive linemen. I don't know if I want to spend that money on a safety. But in any event, it's a great conversation to have. Is it JD in North Carolina? You're next on the show. Hello. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for taking my call. It was a pleasure.
You too, sir. Nice to talk to you.
I'll talk about the difference a little bit between the Spagnuolo defensive philosophy and the Perry Fuel defensive philosophy and kind of get your opinion on a couple of things.
And Fuel, by the way, went to the Redskins yesterday as a defensive backs coach. So congratulations to him in landing on his feet.
Yeah, I should definitely make for some interesting drama during the season for sure. So I guess the biggest difference, at least to my understanding, from what you can tell from the interviews and especially with the conversations with former players, you know, from both coaches, is that it seems like Perry Fuel leaned more on playing the percentages and having a lot of confidence in the game plan that he was able to come up with, you know, prior to the game.
Yes.
And kind of sticking with that, having faith with that, and just, you know, not letting anything, you know, kind of knock you off course, as opposed to Coach Spagnuolo, who seems to prefer, you know, being in the moment and getting very, very in-depth into the chess match as it's going on real time and making as many adjustments and counter moves as possible.
That's very well said. Very well said.
And, yeah, well, thank you. And I absolutely prefer Coach Spagnuolo's philosophy to that.
Remember, you know, both guys did win championship rings as coordinators, though. Just remember that. I mean, it's like apples and oranges. It is different, but both guys did win a ring. I just want to make that clear. It doesn't make anybody right or wrong. It just means that, you know, in this particular season, you might have a certain preference for one over the other. But both guys did win.
Oh, absolutely. Both guys also had Eli Manning on offense, too.
No doubt about that either.
But, yeah, I definitely – and I think that's why a lot of fans are excited about having, you know, Coach Spagnuolo come back. I really do prefer his style of defense overall as well. I was kind of looking through, you know, whatever stats were available for the last couple of seasons. And with the defensive philosophy of Perry Fuel, obviously the focus was on turnovers as well. And to me it always seemed like they were kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse – as far as kind of designing the defense to lean towards trying to get turnovers instead of trying to stop, you know, as many plays as possible. So they're trying to kill the play, you know, not let the offense get any gains, kind of sit back, let the little plays underneath go, and then play the percentages as far as if we pressure the quarterback and, you know, we play deep zone coverage, you know, statistically that should lead to a lot of turnovers. Which also leads to a lot of yards allowed. And I was never really comfortable with that philosophy. I definitely prefer the old style, you know, get as many three and outs as possible.
Well,
and
sure.
I just want to get your opinion on the contrasting philosophies and which one you think has, I guess, more potential to be successful in the NFL.
Well,
today.
In short.
And thanks again for taking my call.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. In short, you've got to have a really, really terrific front four and a solid front seven to be able to lean on Spags' style of defense more so than the style of defense that Perry Fuel was coaching, which relied more on the secondary. And so, again, it all depends on what you have on your roster, too, in that given season. I mean, I don't think that Steve Spagnuolo, over the course of the last 2 years, would have been as comfortable with the Giants' defensive roster as Fuel was. And I mean, remember, 2 years ago, the Giants finished eighth in overall defense. At the same time, I don't think that Perry Fuel would have been really comfortable with the Giants' 2007 and 2008 defenses. Although there was much more talent on those defenses overall, the strength of that defense was a different style and different philosophy-based defense than what Perry Fuel usually leans on. So I give that to you as food for thought and something to chew on. But, yes, I think that given the state of where the Giants are now with some of the young players they have, with some of the flux that they're trying to mature and mold with some of these guys. I say they're in flux a little bit because, let's face it, they are kind of trying to find their way and see what they really can be really, really good at. Well, this is the time, if you're going to change philosophies, this is the time to do it. And I think that also played partly into the Giants making the change. And I think they'd like to try the Spagnuolo philosophy and the core and the base of what he's all about. And if you're going to do that, this is certainly the time to do it with the influx of a lot of the new players on defense that they tried to bring in over the last year or two and now hopefully add to this offseason. Joe from Pennsylvania, you might be last on the show. Let's see. Hello.
Hello there, Paul. Did you have a show yesterday then?
No. Yesterday the office was closed because of the weather and nasty storm that was happening here in the New York City area.
I thought so. I didn't tune in. I thought I heard somebody say that you had a show yesterday.
No show yesterday. But, he probably was archiving from the show 2 days ago.
Okay. I was going to say maybe Spags has some ideas who he wants to bring in there, being out there with the Rams and then over with the Colts. You know what I mean? He's seen a lot of players
in
the American Conference and that. And maybe he can draw somebody, and I'm sure he has some strong feelings about bringing somebody in to help this defense. Wouldn't you think so?
Well, I mean, there's no question that in his travels between the Rams, the Saints, and the Ravens over the last several years, he has been in other divisions and other conferences even, so that maybe he has a little bit more of a flavor for some of the guys who might be out there on the free agent list, and maybe he does have some thoughts about some guys who he might like to see here. I don't think that's out of the question that he'll give them a list of guys who he might be a little bit more amenable to seeing here. That doesn't mean he's going to make the call, because he's not. Jerry Reese is the GM. He still makes the call. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a couple of suggestions as to guys who he thinks might really work well in his system if they're available.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right. Being around a lot of players, they met them that might want to come to play here too with them. Also, is Holiday – Is he up this year or so, or
Holiday's
only
gone.
1 year contract? I know he was injured.
No, Trindon Holiday, I believe he signed with somebody after the Giants, San Francisco.
Yeah, I'd like to see, like I said, I'd like to see the Giants. You know, Preston Parker did a good job, but just somebody with a little more breakaway speed back there, you know.
Well, and that's the reason that Beckham was put back there, because the Giants felt they didn't have enough breakaway speed, and so they ran the risk of running Odell Beckham out on punt returns. In a perfect world, I think you'd like to see somebody get him off of the punt return unit if you could.
Yeah, I said was the receiver we had a few years ago back there. I forget his name.
Dominic Kixon did a really good job at it.
Who's that?
Dominic Kixon.
Yeah, that's the guy, because he was a third, fourth receiver and had the speed, and, you know, he was even a second receiver. So, that's what we need, another guy like that, and I want to see a flash running back, like you said, there to come in there to break up the pace there too. That would be good. That's about it, Paul.
So. All right, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I don't know about the running back situation, because between Jennings and Williams and Darkwa as potentially the third guy. Now, I'm not against bringing a guy in to compete, but right now you got Darkwa and then hopefully Michael Cox coming back off of his leg injury. Those are two decent guys who can compete for that third spot. I don't know that, you know, outside of bringing a guy in for training camp, I'm not sure I'm using any free agent money or draft picks on a running back. I think the Giants probably, you know, unless they draft somebody late on the third day, I'm not sure that they'd be going for a running back. In any event, that wraps it up for today's show. It has been fun. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for calling. Hit me up on hashtag Giants Chat or dialing us up at 201-939-4513. Keep those contact pieces of information available. Again, we are here at Big Blue Kickoff Live every Monday to Friday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm not sure if John will be back in, Schmelk will be back in tomorrow, or Lance, or whoever that may be. But until next time, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you then.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What an incomplete! Oh, the interception!
Touchdown, Giants!